Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio. I hope everyone will join in today. Call in, listen in, or whatever you want to do. But if you want, please provide some feedback so we know what your feelings are towards the topic that we are going to be discussing. When a person's comment or action against another is incorrect, inaccurate, made up, whatever the case may be, it can result in the stumbling and incarceration of others. And this is something that has happened throughout this country and throughout these years. We have many people incarcerated who are wrongfully convicted, who were victims before becoming offenders, who were caused to stumble. We live in a country that is full of corruption, deception, lies, and we have to understand not everyone that's in those prisons are bad. People stereotype all prisoners. But what they fail to realize is the corruption is on the outside. The lies, the deception, the manipulation is still on the outside. So when someone makes a comment about someone else, especially if they don't know the person, they don't really know the circumstances other than what they hear from one-sided stories, from a media that doesn't go into the prisons to meet with the other individuals, a government that doesn't really investigate or go into the prisons as often as they should, and some never do. We have some legislative members that have made it their point, their act, to go into the prisons at least once or twice a year now, which is good. But we have to look at all these people that are behind those bars that have never gotten a chance to tell their stories. And we look at people on the outside who have drummed up their peers to hate these individuals, to not help them. There are even lawyers in the communities around the country whom, because of who they know or connected with, refuse to help these individuals. And when people are in prison trying to clear their name or trying to get their story out or simply trying to get help because they're being abused or WellPath, I'm going to bring this up. WellPath is known throughout the country of actually causing people their death, malpractice. Many people have been destroyed, permanently destroyed, physically, mentally, and even spiritually. We have to start looking at these people behind the bars as human beings. And we have to look at these people on the outside who are committing so many crimes and getting away with it because they have power, they have money, they're wealthy, or because they have connections in other areas. We have a lot of these contracted medical providers in the prisons throughout the country. They look for cheap labor, cheap contract, and this is why WellPath, being a cheap contracted provider for the Department of Correction, has caused so much damage to people. We have to start looking at what's going on in this country. We have to stop looking at the people on the outside in uniforms, even on the inside in uniforms, the overseers with titles and power, looking at them as though they are not to be held accountable because they're somebody special. We only have one high power, highest power, that is special. But as far as human beings in this world, there's no such thing as perfection. But yet we live in a society where people just feel as though if they side with these people in power, in uniforms, with titles, they're going to get some benefits out of it. And you may for a while. So we're going to be talking a lot about this. We're going to be talking about how the actions of others in society can result in undeserved consequences for vulnerable and innocent individuals who are or were only trying to do the right things. And we're going to talk more on how the Department of Corrections, prison officials, and even some SEALs mess with someone's mind to the point where they lose it, to the point where they're getting all kinds of write-ups because they're being forced to double-self, or they're being forced to do things that they don't want to do We have a caller 412. Do you want to state your name, please?
Hi, my name is Christine Vila. How are you?
Good. How are you, Christine?
I'm good, thank you.
Would you like to add anything to what we're talking about right now? I want to ask you, are you the one that was on the other day?
Yes, I was on the Mustafa Al-Jazari case.
Yes. Okay, do you want to speak a little bit about that? Because there's some people in the audience, I'm sure, that weren't listening in at the time. And just introduce yourself, please.
My name is Christine Vila. I've been an advocate since 1991. My advocacy has went across the board, but recently I have been working with a lot of prisoners, and I met the Al-Jazari family just hearing the story on TikTok. I was listening to in one of the videos of the mother, and I started to dig a little deeper into the case, and I started to find out more and more what was really going on, and it was just like, it was like something out of a movie. I couldn't even believe what I was seeing in the discovery, what I was hearing. And then I had gotten the chance to talk with Mr. Al-Jazari, who's on the inside, and hearing what happened to him on May the 24th, 2023, he was brutally, and I mean brutally, assaulted by the correctional officers in the jail. And during that assault, he was sexually assaulted as well. And, when he went to file, we found out, like, that the PREA posters in the jail had listed a number that was older than 10 years, and it was a disconnected number.
Mm-hmm.
When he went to go to have the, the incident investigated, it was actually the people that assaulted him that came in the room to take his report, and they were like yelling it across the entire pod so other inmates could hear, Mr. Al-Jazari, were you assaulted? What happened? What was this sexual assault you're talking about? So it just, things just got increasingly worse from there, for him. And as we speak right now, Mr. Al-Jazari was awaited in the room the other day to go to a court hearing, which he never was taken over. While he was in that room, a nurse had come in the room and asked him to see him. And it was the same nurse that came on May 24th, 2023, during his assault, where he was bloody, where he was bleeding from the rectum, and she basically ignored all of his injuries at that time. And he told her, I don't trust you, I don't need you, I didn't call for you, why are you even here? And at that point, they said that he was, they charged him with not, taking the commands of an officer, something like that, and he ended up now on 15 days detention, which he's already in solitary confinement. He already has a thing across his window where he can't even look out. And he got his commissary taken away. He got his mattress taken away, his clothing, and his only communication with his family on the outside. All of those things were stripped from him. That's where things stand now.
I say it all the time. The problem with the DLC is that it's not even a problem for them. It's an asset for them, is that our government leaders, our legislative members, are not really overseeing, and there's no oversight in the prisons. And these people are suffering while our legislative members are just talking about these issues. The union, the Department of Corrections union, is so powerful that our legislative members, when they do try to help, they write a few letters or make a few calls and nothing happens. Rather than to challenge the Department of Corrections, they just ignore the constituents. And this is what's so sad, because the situation you're talking about with this young man, it was an automobile accident. And I want to ask you, Christine, if you can talk a little bit of, I understand when it first happened, it wasn't considered a homicide or it wasn't considered intentional. What turned everything around to make it become more intentional? When did this all change? No?
It changed when, I'm not really sure what the exact thing was when it changed. I do know that there came a point where, oh, I know when it changed. Okay, so when the investigator is inside, it's called, oh my goodness, they oversee things. The family had went to internal affairs, that's what it's called. They went to internal affairs, and internal affairs went over the case and discovered the holes that the family were talking about in the discovery, which, by the way, one of those pieces of paper they got on accident from the defense lawyer, who the whole time the defense lawyer was not working on Mr. Al-Jazari's behalf. He was basically working right along with the prosecutor. And once Internal Affairs let, you know, the Commonwealth attorney, Amy Ashworth, know that there's holes in this story, something needs to be done. Our findings are that this is a falsified report. They basically agreed that there were falsifications because they saw the actual, I believe, body cam of the officer, and they saw the inconsistencies in there. You know, it was totally different from what was on the body cam than what he wrote in the report. And I think it was a day or two later, instead of this Commonwealth attorney, you know, dropping these charges, because technically this was a real car accident. I mean, there were delegates that got on TikTok, their own personal TikTok, and said, look, we read over this discovery. This was a car accident. The brakes failed. That paper, the family was never supposed to get a hold of. The lawyer asked for that paper back, and the family said, no, it's a part of the discovery. We're keeping it. You know, it doesn't take anything for him to get another copy of that. And so that cat was out of the bag at that point. And she went 2 days later and filed murder charges on him. And we're not really sure. She went to a grand jury and filed murder charges. We don't know why she did that, what prompted her to do that. But, you know, everyone professionally that I have taken the discovery to, that has looked at it, found the holes, they've heard all the videos, they've heard all the recordings, and people are shocked. People are very shocked that this woman who we found, I ended up doing some research and going down lots of rabbit holes and found that she had a direct connection with the defense attorney. He had actually given her money towards her campaign funding. And as I went on, I started finding more and more out that these people all had some sort of like a money connection to each other. And I just, you know, I just made sure that I told everybody that I could. And today, you know, I reached out to Senator McPike. I talked to his secretary. There's some things that she wanted sent over. She was more interested in who I was than about the case. And I told her, you know, I introduced myself to her already. But, you know, I told her it was more important to look at the facts of the case and that that would be all sent to her from the brother. And she was kind of angry at first, but then I got her to a place where she was listening. And I basically told her, you know, I'm an advocate. I would do this for your family member. I would do this for you. And that's how I got her to look at it. You know, this could happen to anyone. If, you know, it happened to this guy, it could happen to anybody that you know, too. So she was a little bit calmer with me after that phone call. And I did, I was directed by Delegate Maldonado's office to contact Miss Candy Mundon, who's another delegate in Dumfries, where Mustafa is from, and I have not heard back from anybody yet. So we'll give it another day and see how this goes.
And you probably won't. If you don't, that goes to show you how much these people are really concerned about what's going on in this country and in their penal system. 727, do you want to state your name?
It's Melissa. I'm here. I'm just chiming in for just a moment.
I want to thank you. You sent me a message saying that you are inviting people to these groups, and this is very much needed. I think that it's very necessary for all of us, advocates, family members of loved ones, everyone, to start connecting together. Because if we're not going to get the help from our legislative members, our government leaders, who knows there's a serious problem in this country, then we're going to have to start doing it on our own with as many people that are concerned, that are godly enough to try to do some changes in the system here. Christine was just talking a little bit more about Mustafa, and I don't know if, Melissa, if you want to add anything to that.
About who? I'm sorry?
If you want to add anything to what Christine was saying.
No, I mean, I just caught the tail end. I'm not sure about what updates. Me and Christine were supposed to talk later today. So I'm not sure. I've got three more appointments and Zooms going on today, so I'm going to actually have to pop out shortly. I'm just trying to keep abreast of where we're at, just because of, either way.
Okay.
I'm just here for a minute.
You're talking about the abuse that's going on with Mustafa, and unfortunately, this is happening throughout the country, and it has to stop. You know, you've listened to the people I've interviewed from abroad, and all of these people in other countries are looking at the United States as some kind of a joke, a farce, because they're seeing all this abuse in this country. They're seeing all the corruption, the lies, the deception. They're seeing the racism that goes on in this country. And unfortunately, we live in a country where our own people, our own government, doesn't see it. Or if they see it, they just don't care. This country is not the powerful country it was at one time. It's becoming a joke. And something needs to be done with the penal system, with what's going on behind these prison walls. Too many people are suffering at the hands of barbaric overseers that have no one overseeing them. And this has got to stop.
Leona, could I chime in for a second? I just wanted to mention that in my research about the different prisons, I found an article that was very interesting, that Prince William County Adult Detention Center was actually, in one of these articles, compared to the treatment in Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, where our military were shown abusing the Iraqi prisoners. I'm sure you remember that. It was a very big story, and there was some really brutal abuse going on there. And this is after, you know, we knew of the atrocities that were happening to these people in Iraq under the regime of Saddam Hussein. And my husband happened to be one of those people that was in that prison at one time. So, you know, to have this prison in America compared to that was unnerving, to say the least. And I went on to read a little bit further. I was reading about some other different prisons abroad, and I did find an article about a prison in Norway. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of it, but they talked about how they treated their prisoners, you know, that were in their penal system. And it was like, I almost couldn't believe what I was reading. You know, they
Norway,
were talking about...
Norway is the role model. Norway prisons are the role model for the entire world. And some of our legislative members, some of the people from this country have gone over there to actually see how they're operating. So what they learned from while they were there, apparently they haven't completely used it here in the U.S., but some states are now starting to use some of their platform. It's going to take a while, but even the Department of Justice now is looking at the seriousness of mass incarceration in this country, and they're looking at ways that they're going to try to reduce the population as well. But Norway is a role model for all countries in the world.
If I can ask you, I don't know if you saw the same thing that I saw, but I saw that the prison system over there was actually working really hard towards rehabilitating these people, helping them, never, ever inhumanely mistreating them. And they said that rate of prisoners that were being rehabilitated was like mass numbers. It was just unbelievable.
You know, Franz Del, former 27-year warden in Amsterdam, is going to be on the show next week, and he's coming on with, his name is Gary Cohen. Gary Cohen is a criminal defense lawyer in Texas, and they're going to be coming on the show next week. And right now, this is exactly what's going on. Franz Del was a warden in Amsterdam, and their prison system, and as Franz said, if everybody that runs the prisons in the United States treated these individuals like human beings, they would see that there would be a big difference in the way that these individuals respond to them. So, again, we have people in other countries that are looking at this country in a different light.
Yeah, it's very bad. It really is. I mean, even just, just talking to Mustafa on the phone and hearing, you know, his side of it, it's so disheartening, and it's sad, you know, when you hear it, because here you have someone who's really being mentally tortured by being in solitary confinement and knowing that they were physically and sexually tortured, and to still try to keep your head up and, you know, keep your head above water, because he's like, I'm not letting them get to me. I'm going to keep telling what they're doing. And he knows that there's going to be retaliation, but he said, if I don't speak up, I'm going to die, and I'm going to die never telling what really happened to me. And that was a big thing. I think Melissa was even on that call.
Melissa, I want you and Melissa, while Melissa's still with us, I want both of you to give the audience your contact information, anything that you want them to know, and how they can help in any way. Please let them know.
So for me, I would just like to reach out to the audience right now. At this point, I think what we really need to do is, like you said on the show the other night, we need to find a civil Muslim pro bono attorney that will help this family, because a lot of these issues are civil. The family has a defense attorney, and the defense attorney will only work on the defense side of things. He doesn't want to cloud the issues up with the defense side, because he thinks he has a winning case. He's pretty confident that, you know, Mustafa will be exonerated. However, during, you know, the incarceration, what he suffered, he said, you know, you definitely need to find a civil attorney for all these other issues. And that's what we're trying to do at this point. So if anybody has any information, I have reached out to a lot of people today. I'm just waiting on calls back. I joined every single group that I could on Facebook. I'm doing everything that you had guided us to do on the show the other night, Leona, which I thought was just great. And anyone can reach me on my telephone at area code 412-815-9179. If there's anything that you want to talk about, or even need help or anything, I'm here. I'm available. I will make myself available for anything.
Okay. And Melissa, you started to say something?
No. I was going to chime in with a couple things on it, but that's okay. Everybody, Melissa Eberling, Warrior Within Us Project. And I've only been on the case for about a week and a half now, and just speaking to you, all this stuff that's going on, we just need more eyes and ears on it. We need people following to see what it is our delegates decide to do, what it is our lawyers in the area, what do they start to do. You know, we're putting out notification to just about every sector of help that one could have. So then what happens? So we just continue to do this, but just because it's age old, we continue to let our inmates go through torture. It's just not acceptable. You know, and I just want to re-highlight the Mandela, 2015 Mandela, United Nations regulations state 15 days in, and beyond that is considered psychological torture. And that saying that and knowing that we have so many violations, not only that, but the Virginia law allows it to go beyond that time frame. It allows it to go beyond that time frame. We have it at every DOC within the state and across the country. And here we are. California is still the only one to have not done something about that. And I believe they're the first ones to have it, ended on there. And we understand there has to be some level of security for severe matters. But we got guys going into solitary, I don't know if I even found out why he went into solitary the first time. Did they say it was for protection for himself? Christine?
Actually, no one really knows the answer to that. He didn't request it. He didn't say that he was, afraid of anyone.
Okay, so see, and in all fairness, depending on how the harassment is out there for him that he's been experiencing, he may not, it might be their choice of action to possibly, but still, if we think about that, it all comes down to if that's what's being allowed. I mean, who's supporting which vibe? Is it the CEOs that are just letting the harassment go on, saying that's the reason why he needs to be under protection? It's just tragic. And I just want to point out, because this is very important, because every state DOC prison has been on multiple lockdowns lately. And what a lockdown is, if nobody, puts the two and two together, please understand, when you hear a lockdown, which happens all the time, sometimes for no reason at all, sometimes 2 weeks at a time, lockdown is solitary confinement with a bunkie. Same thing, but with a bunkie. So know that, as we fight for solitary regulation and things like that, the fact of the matter is these cells are literally the same. You lose your privileges. You can't communicate. And sometimes it's not even because of a safety issue. It's just done by administration. I've gotten calls from some people inside that are telling me that they are actually creating a solitary pod, which is a larger pod, but they're trying to get away around the legislation. So, I mean, we need to get, whoever's in solitary, the one man, we need to get them out as soon as possible. I don't even think Mustafa's had a mental health evaluation. He sounds strong, and I do believe he is, but it just needs to be on record. And then we need to find out, let's ask Mustafa when we can, when he gets out of this extra punishment, let's ask him, what did they consider a mental health exam?
I think right now...
Just to get that inside piece, because that matters.
I'm sorry, Melissa. I was just going to say, I wanted to let both of you know in the audience, Morgan & Morgan is a law firm. They don't charge until they win. And so, Christine, you might want to let Mustafa know to file a lawsuit or to file a suit and contact Morgan & Morgan. They do work. They do advocate for the prisoners who have been either through malpractice or abuses or whatever. And it's just an option. You might want to try that.
Okay, I will give that call personally and try to talk to them.
Not only them either. As I was going to say, it's there are others that will take on suits against the department. And another thing is try to get people to start writing to Mustafa, because as long as they see there's a lot of people that are connecting with him and trying to make sure that they're not going to keep doing what they're doing if they see there's a lot of people involved. And so that might be
I do have a number of people writing him, but I wanted to make a little statement here, too. I found something very interesting, and I do have the proof to prove it. They have been sending Mustafa's mail out. Now, I write at least 5 letters a week to him, and the last letter that was sent out from solitary, I noticed that they didn't pay the postage on it. And luckily, the mailman rang my ring doorbell, and I was able to communicate with the mailman, and he said, "This is odd. I've never seen it," he said, "but this is coming from a prison, and they didn't pay the postage." And he told me how much the postage was, and I said, "Hold on to it. Bring it back tomorrow, and I'll have the postage ready for you. So I did pay for it. But they're retaliating even in small ways like that, where they're not putting the postage on his letter so that people don't receive them. They go right back to prison.
I've sent 32 magazines in the last 3 years, and the prison has never got them. You know, they play with the mail. It's not, and I'll tell you, the Department of Justice does have a complaint section on their site where people can actually file complaints when it comes to what's going on with the prisoners. Morgan & Morgan, the telephone number is 857.
Wait 1 second. I'm going to write this down. 857.
354-354-3648.
Okay. And I just wanted to check in one thing that Melissa said. This retaliation from the beginning really started when the adult detention of Prince William County saw how hard his family was fighting for him. Like, the harder they fought, the more, you know, retaliation towards Mustafa fought. I mean,
that's not isolated, too. That's not isolated. We've heard that from other states, other DOCs within the state. It's just as if they're sitting there laughing in people's faces, the governor's face, who signed his name on these laws and regulations. It's almost as if it's some big joke, our people's lives. And, you know, like you said, the mailroom, you know, regardless if it was an honest mistake or not, it's still incompetency on some level, whether it's retaliation. That's possible because it would make sense. They've gotten so sloppy and so blatant with their absolute violation and disregard for human life that it's just out in the open. And that should scare everybody. Coast to coast, no matter where you're at, that should scare everybody. I don't even know the countless organizations that have been reached out on this, countless news. It's almost as if I get it. It takes time to do everything, but there's been so little backing by our government and even our nonprofits because it's not a state level because they're overwhelmed in state. But this does matter. Just reminding everybody, this is local, just outside the nation's capital. And I was told to just to make a tidbit. The lawyers I think I passed on. You know, you definitely want to look outside of Prince William. There's a lot of, it's just kind of age old that if you want, you know, some good, fair representation anyway, that you stay out of the county and head north out towards D.C. or even Maryland for some. Just got to make sure they practice in the state of Virginia. But there's somebody in civil rights in D.C. you should reach out to if you haven't already. And then I did reach out to ACTS. And this update I wasn't able to get to share with you, and I'm going to have to jump off here after that because I've got a really important meeting I got to be in. But I called ACTS. Now, mind you, Leona, just to remind you, I think you were still on when they talked about the notification for the PREA having Savas listed on it. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay. So Savas, and the reason why it's significant – ironic that my mom helped crusade that organization in the 80s, and they trained me in the 90s, but that organization's name has not been used on publication, as far as I know, probably a decade or more.
What name?
SAVVIS, Sexual Assault Victims Advocacy Service. And let me tell you, they were a full-on, they were definitely more support than we have now. But there's more. So Savas is listed on the poster inside the walls as the helpline and rings to a number that's dead, they said, right? So on top of that, there's actually a couple updates I wanted to give y'all. I was trying to do it on the show, but it's important.
You know, this is what's not being done, and this is why everyone wonders why nothing gets done. When there's information, when there's resources, everybody wants to post it, make it go viral. When there's problems, when articles, postings are sent out to advocates or family members or whomever, post it, share it, keep it going. Don't just, you know, I get a lot of likes on Facebook when I post things. Likes are doing nothing for me or anyone else.
I mean, I post, that's all I post. You'll look at my page, and it's all about local or external DOC stuff. And I don't know that I've had a fun post in a long time, to be honest.
Well, that's talking about whatever it is. If you can post that so everybody can see it, and then I can pick it up on that.
I'm going to have to jump off here. I was going to try to get you the update because things are really amping up on the national level with a couple things. And I do need to circle back with you just to let you know what happened with that Savas thing and how they also stopped the counseling services in there. They don't know why, but for the last 3 months. So I think some other stuff is valid. I don't know that I'm going to have a time to actually type that out and get it posted because I'm just being poured in a lot of directions. And in the same fight, it just with multiple people on big levels too. So I want to keep, I just can't promise I'm going to be able to post that is my point. So if you, whatever you take from my conversation, Christine is the main advocate on the case. I'm co-advocate. I just knew that she needed light to this case as much as possible because this, my original show was going to be set for something different, but this needed heard. So it matters. I'll try to get you the rest of the update as soon as I can. But I'm going to be late tonight. So I'll follow back with you guys. Good luck, Christine. You know, we've been paying phone tags, so I'll be back around soon. Leon, I'll talk to you later too.
Okay. Thank you for your answer, guys. Also, I wanted to let you know, submitting a complaint to the Department of Justice, on the website, they have a section. If you just type in submitting a complaint to the DOJ, Department of Justice, there is a place where you can submit any kind of complaints against any prison overseer that is abusing.
So the family has done that already. They've went through the Department of Justice. They actually had an independent investigation through the Federal Bureau of Investigation. That turned out really weird. That's the only words I can use for that because they were actually doing the investigation for his civil liberties being, you know, abused. And we found out that really they were not on the side of Mustafa regardless, even though, you know, the family like wanted to, they received like a still photo of Mustafa walking. And Mustafa basically explained, what was I going to do? They came in, they put a jumpsuit on me, and they told me to get up. And he said they didn't show the part when I was walking that I was literally limping and I could barely walk. And also, when the FBI went in, I guess, to do their investigation, they basically, they admitted to the family that they saw the footage of what happened, admitted that they saw the correctional officers carrying Mustafa, his limp, unconscious body out of the cell. From one cell, they were taking him to another cell. Although they never offered for the family to see that, the family wanted to preserve those videos. That's left up to the prison itself, which is crazy.
And I'm so sorry. I'm just chiming in. I know we were still in the middle of saying bye, but I'm gonna let you keep rolling on with that because it's important. I got a Georgia thing going on right now. I got to jump into, but I will catch y'all later.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. All right. Have a good night.
Thanks. So the family had made a second appointment because they felt like they were given the agent who was on the case for Mustafa other information of other inmates that were coming forward that were assaulted sexually, that were assaulted physically, and the FBI agent told them, stop giving me other names. You're making your brother's case go slower, you know, which was very shocking. So the family thought, that's not even right. So they made an appointment. They had requested an appointment with her supervisor. When they get in there, the aggression that the family faced with the supervisor was just, it was shocking. I mean, why would this guy be angry at the family for turning something in that happened to their family member? And he wouldn't even give them his name. He said that, you know, basically that the case is over. They've investigated, and that was where it was at. Now, when I talked to the delegate's office, Ms. Maldonado, wrote me in an email back saying that there was a, you know, an independent investigation done. She never, by the way, she never even addressed the issues about what I said to her about having him seen outside the prison walls by a doctor about his injuries. She just went on to say that they told her that that investigation was concluded and it was unfounded, which was almost shocking because they admitted to the family that they saw him being carried out of there limp and unconscious. That should have been enough to go further, but they didn't, which makes me feel like, you know, and I did find out that the particular person that was investigating that from the Federal Bureau, from what I hear, she's the one who investigates all these claims. So who knows what her, you know, her relationship is with the DOC down there. But obviously she's the one who does all their investigations, and she was definitely not on the side of the family, which I told the family not to let that discourage them, that we still have to keep going. We still got to keep moving. And as we speak, like today, I never stopped since this morning. I've been going and going and going, doing everything that you told me the other night, talking to anybody that I can, you know, emailing, anything, just to try to get attention in the matter. And I'm not going to give up. I don't know. You know, they're pushing a lot of buttons. And like I told you the other night on the show, the family, there were threats made in the jail that Mustafa could hear. Right? Some of the COs and other prisoners were blurting out his address, saying, we know the color of your door. We know the color of your cars. A couple days later, one of the cars, the brother's driving in it, and one of the cars literally engulfs in flames. One of the tow truck drivers that took the vehicle, or I don't know if he was taking the vehicle or picking it up, but he was an ex-firefighter, and he told Muhammad that he actually got under the car and he said, you see that hose right there? He said, that's your fuel line, and it's cut. So that was the first thing that was really, really scary. Then there's been an unknown vehicle that's been showing up near their house, which is really back in the woods, by the way. It has, you know, one driveway, one entrance that kind of sits by itself. And they've, on two occasions, this car has shown up at the residence, once at 4 o'clock in the morning while the younger brother was sitting outside. He flashed on a little light and saw that someone was out there, ran back to the vehicle, and took off. Another time, the brother was driving back. This is just a couple of days after the incident with the car, which was in the last 2 weeks we're talking. He sees someone sitting by the mailbox at the end of their driveway. Same car, same description, tinted windows. The car takes off, and Muhammad said that he went and drove down and turned around, and that car kind of just ended up in front of him somehow. So that car took off at that point. But then the next day, Muhammad went to get into a different vehicle, and he lost complete use of the steering. And there was, like, steering fluid leaking out everywhere. This is the brother. And this came a week, not even a week, after the threats that were made in the jail. These two instances happened within the following week. So I have reason to believe that they're attacking these people. And by the way, I want to make one more crucial point about this case. In 2018, a tow truck driver shows up at their house saying something about a vehicle that Mustafa owned or something. And they were saying that he didn't own it, but he brought out the paperwork and showed that he had the title to the vehicle, and that they were not going to take the vehicle. He wouldn't let them take the car because the car was paid off. The vehicle belonged to him. He showed the title. He showed all the credentials that he needed. I think it was a little bit later on, the family stated that the entire almost police force came back with no warrant, basically barged into the home, pushed the women down in the house, and the family sued against Prince William County for this. And before the accident happened with Mustafa, they were actually sitting down with the family to conclude like a number to give them for, you know, this lawsuit. And then I think it was like a week or two later that the accident happened. And the lawyer that was on that case told them, he said, I have no doubt in my mind that you guys are being targeted. Like the lawyer talked with them and he said, you guys are being targeted. And he said, it's going to only get worse from here. And it did. So, you know, the family can't just get up and leave that area either because their son is in prison right now. And, you know, they very much want to leave, but they can't because their son is still there.
So does he have an did you find an attorney or do you know of attorneys that can help him?
So we found a defense attorney who's working on the case on the defense end of things, but we still have not found a civil attorney. And when I talked to someone, I think it was yesterday, they said that, you know, what you need in this case is a civil attorney, that when these little types of things of retaliation happen, they can be put into a case. And that case can be litigated, you know. But what I'm finding is that the attorneys in the area, it's almost like you said it happens in Massachusetts also, is they all work together. And we know that for a fact that a couple of the attorneys that they had to try to get on the case were basically told leave it alone. And they scared them away. But they didn't scare this defense attorney away. You know, he's from like 2 hours away from there. And this attorney fights police brutality cases. However, he's very invested in the defense side of this because he feels that he could get Mustafa exonerated. And for him to go and add, you know, he's, you know, right now he's just not, you know, he can't really handle the litigation for a civil case right now. He said he wants to really put his efforts into the defense side of it. Try to get him out of there altogether. But in the meantime, you know, he 100% believes the family. He's seen the evidence. We have reached out to the Arab Discrimination Center down there. The guy that is in charge of that, his name is Abid Ayub. I mean, this is the director of the Arab Discrimination down there who's telling them when they go into the office, he's like pounding his desk, yeah, this is wrong. I'm going to help you guys. We're going to send out a press release, you know. And he had been telling the family this for 2 weeks. So when I joined in to that call, I didn't beat around the bush at all. I came straight to the front with my question. Are you going to release the press release that you talked about? And the day earlier, I had just texted him, and he just blew me off saying, yeah, we're going to release it. It's in the queue for tomorrow. The next day I called him and I said, hey, I didn't find that story. And at that point, he started to call the family, like, who's this lady? Is she the FBI? I think she's a plant, you know. And then I go further to do my research because, you know, I like digging down rabbit holes. And I found that there was actually a direct connection between him and the Commonwealth attorney, you know, that they're rubbing shoulders all the time. So is this something where he's just, you know, being controlled? I don't know, you know, but he's not doing what he's telling the family he's going to do. And this is a Muslim organization that's supposed to protect them from these type of discrimination. And he's doing nothing for them.
Unfortunately, as you said, lawyers stick together, and there's so many corrupt lawyers now. And that's something else I've been exposing slow but sure, but that's something else I really want to start exposing. And at some point in time, I want everybody to start letting me know the lawyers that have screwed them over, or lawyers that have made promises they couldn't keep, or lawyers that have taken the money and did nothing, lawyers that are affected, because I know a lot of people are targeted. I know that for a fact. And one of the things is when our loved ones are targeted, and we have nobody backing them or helping them, then the entire DOC takes more advantage of them and tries to do more and more and more to damage them.
Right.
Physically, yeah. Mentally, and spiritually. And Mohammed should ask me, I know that they can't do much, but he should talk to the imam in his facility, you know, at least to, you know, to see if maybe the imam knows something that, you know, some resources or something as well.
So that is something that has been done, and again, it's just like, you know, he's a part of that system, so he didn't offer much assistance except for religious assistance, you know, and anything
yeah.
about the man or anything like that. Unfortunately, though, you know, it's just like the Casey Stevens, the lawyer that they had, who was their supposed defense attorney, who was basically like doing everything to not help this family, and he would say, yeah, we have this, this, and that, which he didn't know that he was being recorded. It's a good thing that he was. Because as whiny as he was, you know, we were able to prove the things that he was saying, that we weren't just, this wasn't coming out of thin air. The family had evidence. And this man took $50,000 off the family, and he wrote up a list. So we have that list. And the Legal Bar Association wrote a letter to this lawyer and told him, give them, I think it was about $14,000 or $15,000 back. So right now, that lawyer has defied the Bar Association. And really, without another lawyer involved, he gets away with that. Because basically, we found out that he's sending money back to the jail, and the jail's sending it back to him. It's never going to the family where it's supposed to. And when the brother confronted this lawyer most recently, the lawyer, the mother was recording it, and the lawyer smacked the phone down on her hand. And, you know, maybe, and there is a video, by the way, that the family preserved and was able to get that video. And it's very clear that he did smack the phone down. I don't think we could really realize how hard it went down. It actually did fracture her finger. And the mother now has a cast on her hand. And they did nothing. They basically told the family, go talk to the magistrate. So now there's a hearing coming up for that. The mother really has no one to speak for her. And the lawyer is basically bragging that he's going to get away with it. You know, he's telling them, you're not going to win.
You know what? I put out almost $50,000 myself with the help of a friend in the past 10 years to lawyers that didn't do anything at all. Once they got the money, they charged. What they did, they go back and forth with emails amongst themselves, and they actually charged for those emails going back and forth between them. Unfortunately,
right.
we have the bar associations across the country, they will side with the lawyers. They don't side with the people that are being messed up. They side with the lawyers themselves. And our legislative members they're too afraid to challenge the DOC. The comments that are made, again, I'm going to go back to the beginning with the comments that are made by other people can affect others, cause them to stumble if they haven't already stumbled, and cause them to be in prison. This is a problem we have in this country. We don't have leaders. We have followers. We have insecure leaders that have so much fear of losing their peers, losing the good things that people say about them. A leader is somebody that's going to take the good and the bad. They're going to be looked down upon. They're going to be judged. They're going to be criticized, but they're going to continue to be the leader that they are. And we don't have that in this country, unfortunately.
Yeah, it feels like we have a lot of yes men. I agree.
That's what it is. Look at what's happening in Israel right now in the Gaza. We have right now the president's furious with Netanyahu, but yet he's still supplying them with weapons and money. You know, how can you be both ways? You know, maybe if you back up on the money and the weapons, maybe Netanyahu will have enough respect for you to listen to what you're trying to tell him. But Netanyahu has no respect whatsoever for the president of the United States. But yet the president, as weak as he is going to continue to tell him to stop ceasefire, but keep sending the weapons, keep sending the money, and Netanyahu has nothing to lose. What he people looking at our president as being the weak one instead of looking at Netanyahu as being the defiant one.
Right. I don't think at any point he has any intention to stop what is going on either.
Oh, he's not. He don't intend to stop. He's going to wipe it out completely. He wants to control the entire country. He wants to, and he's going to do it because no one's going against him. But that's what we have in the United States.
I'm sorry. My feeling is they'll go further than Gaza. I believe they'll try to stomp all over the whole Middle East.
What's happening right now is that we're going to have a world war. It's going to be the holy war that was mentioned in the Bibles, in the Quran, and all of them. That we're going to have a holy war because it started out with Ukraine and Russia. Then it's with Israel and it's with the Gaza. And then all of a sudden now we're going into Iran. We're bombing Iran. We're going after China. We're going after North Korea. You know, what's going to happen in the world is exactly what's happening in the United States. People, this racism, it's not just between the blacks and the whites, which that is in itself a shame, but it's also between the Jews and the Arabs. It's between the Asians. We have, right now, we have in this country, we have a lot of immigrants from all over the world. And yet their focus is more on the immigrants coming in. Well, maybe that's a problem. But the big problem is stop sending all these weapons overseas and stop putting some of the money into Central and South America, which is part of the Americas. Put some money in there so that they can keep their people in their countries. So their people are not going to try to come into this country to make money, to have some kind of life. But all the money is going over to countries that we have no involvement with. We're so far away. This is not our war, but yet they're going after it. So that's why I say they need to focus on the United States of America, and they need to focus on the immigration issues in Central and South America by sending the leaders money. Stop meeting with the government of these countries and working out something so that the immigration issue is not going to be a problem in this side of the world. Let the other side of the world right now, let them handle their own business. But we have too many people getting in everybody's business, just like we have in this country. Everybody judges the incarcerated individuals without knowing anything about their circumstance. And then we have the people inside who are supposed to be overseeing that are abusing, that are causing these people to commit suicide, or they're killing them themselves and alleging it's suicide.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going on. We're seeing it every day, you know, in one way or another. And I feel like, you know, I feel like we're definitely losing our civil rights every single day, you know, by people ignoring, you know. Before, I'll tell you a short example. You know, I was at a store the other day, and normally when you make a complaint, you know, somebody addresses that complaint. And this was a pretty serious one. I've noticed that our food, you know, our vegetables and fruits are almost rotten when you go to buy
it
them.
It is. Exactly.
Yeah. And I made a complaint because I had bought some lemons and I inhaled these lemons because there was like some green stuff on them. It was like powdery and they were just rotten and it went like down into my lungs and, you know, they had to give me like water and I complained about it. And normally, you know, I know a couple years back people would come to your aid, they'd ask like, what could we do? We're really sorry that happened. I made a complaint, you know, I filled out a form, but nothing, not even a phone call. And I've seen this happening a lot lately, you know, where our complaints aren't even addressed in a store, you know.
Let me tell you, in Massachusetts, I contacted the Attorney General's office. Do you know, I contacted them because of somebody's civil rights being violated. Now, the Attorney General's office, as ignorant as they could be, they never responded. And you know something? This is why I say this country has major problems. When you can't even file a civil rights complaint with the Attorney General's office, who is supposed to be accepting civil rights violation complaints.
Right.
Never even responded. And this is why I say these are not professional people. I don't know what hole they crawl out of, but they're not professional at all. And they ignore the people, and then they wonder why they have such a problem in the United States. They wonder why there's so many suicides in the prisons. They wonder why people are trying to escape the prisons. These are all issues that they have no knowledge of because they themselves are not professional enough to even look into these matters. They're just as, you know, it's like Donald Trump and Joe Biden and the Republican and Democrats. They're like little kids fighting back and forth and saying it's for the American people. That is BS because nothing they're saying or doing has anything to do with the American people. It's their own little fuss. It's their own little childish games and hatred for one another. We have that in all these professional fields today. When I was growing up, there was a lot more professionalism in these places than there is today. Now we have people that are so inexperienced, so unprofessional, running these things.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's
Christine, I want to say, I think you sent me your email. I'm going to send you some resources after the show to check out. But I don't know why no one has stepped in to help in that situation. This is definitely a human rights violation. And I'm going to contact Kia. I'd like to contact Kia, maybe with you on the line with me when I do call them, to find out why they haven't stepped in.
Yeah, I'd be glad to do it with you. I know that it has been done before, but maybe if they know there's two advocates on the phone, they might do something different. We don't know. I'm definitely not giving up. I will call them every single day. I will call these delegates every single day. I will call the state senators. Governor Youngkin of Prince William County, Virginia, basically the family camped out on his front lawn for 2 weeks, slept out there. And he basically sent his help out with a card saying, look, we're going to help. We're going to get this taken care of. And the family went to call again. There was no answer. Okay, the guy never responded back. And then after that, the phone number was disconnected. So, I mean, this is being ignored at every single level.
Can you compose a letter and that we can circulate to get signatures from other organizations and advocates?
Sure.
Okay. I believe, too, that, like I said, I believe there is a – and I think that needs to be circulated, too. I circulated it, but it didn't go after that. I don't know. But the petition that was on change.org.
Right.
Somebody had filed a petition, but they didn't do anything with it?
Well, they tried. That gentleman who did that is he's out of Oregon, and he was also a part of the prison system, and he went through – the same type of hell, and came out and became an advocate. And he wrote those petitions, which, by the way, I have been posting in every single advocacy group that I could, prison groups, everything. I mean, all day. I've been at it since 5 o'clock this morning. I'm sure that, like, hundreds of those got it. If they're signing it, I haven't checked yet. So hopefully, it is going to get some more signatures. I'm hoping, because I took your idea and I think it was a great idea. And I'm hoping that people do sign that. I think it's very important. But
and
this letter that
you... I'm going to invite you to other groups, too. So you can, if you just send me your last name information on Facebook, social media, I'm going to start inviting you to a lot of the other groups so you can connect and start posting some of those things, too.
Absolutely. I'm going to give you my email.
Not online.
Huh?
Message me with it.
Yeah, of course.
Next week, a couple of days, I'm going to be interviewing Nina Champion, and she is a London consultant, and she's had years' experience in areas of criminal justice. So she's going to be on the show in a few days, and you might want to, let me just see exactly when she's coming on. I thought it was Franz Dow. Franz Dow, the former warden, is going to be coming on the 13th of March. But let's see. Nina. I'm losing track of what's the dates. Okay. Okay, Nina will be on March 6th. That'll be next week. She's going to be coming on next week. And Frank DeBrine, he's going to be on in a couple of days. He's from the Netherlands as well. So he has a lot of, he can talk about what's going on in the United States too, because he also watches it. So they can,
and
what, everyone.
And Frank,
can,
do you, what day is that show? What day will Frank be on?
Frank's going to be on, 20, let's see. Frank's going to be on Today's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He's going to be on Wednesday at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And he's going to be talking on issues causing chaos in worldwide.
You said at 3 p.m.?
2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Wednesday.
Okay.
And then next week will be, on the 6th, will be Nina Champion, and she will be on at 12 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Okay, great. I will definitely join those shows and listen.
Now, Franz Dell is going to be on the March 13th at 2 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And Franz right now, he's been working, he's with the United Nations, and he's also with the Ministry of Psychiatry Global, and he's with the International Red Cross, and he's doing work out in Texas with some of the advocates out in Texas. And he's going to be on the 13th, and that's when he's going to be coming on with Gary Cohen, who is a defense attorney. You might want to come on and ask some questions and when he comes on as well, the defense
attorney.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would love to.
Audience, I want to invite you to come on and ask questions. Please feel free to ask questions, to even make comments. I don't care if you want to criticize. I don't care what you want to do. But in order for people to make changes, you have to be verbal. So many people are so quick to talk behind one another's back, or they're so quick to talk to one another or complain. But when you have an opportunity to have your voices heard, take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Now, I want to say, too, again, a lot of times people are making comments and talking about others that they don't even know because they know that that person apparently committed some kind of offense. Unless you know exactly what the cause of these things are, unless you know exactly what's going on and what causes these things, as long as you know about the individual themselves, don't make comments. Don't criticize. Don't talk about the person. But ask questions. We have advocates out in the communities who are turning against other advocates because of what other advocates may be saying about that person or those people. No one asks questions. No one talks. And this is why we have such a dysfunctional country, because people assume, and everyone knows what that means when you assume.
Correct. Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, even taking on Mustafa's case, people were like, do you see what his charges are? And I'm like, yeah, I see that. But he's not guilty until he's proven guilty. And that's another issue with this country. You know, we have that where, you know, someone is innocent until proven guilty, but it's really actually the other way around.
So many people have said that, too.
Yeah.
Guilty,
I mean, that's proven
innocent.
Yeah. But luckily, and I'm very glad that, you know, the delegate in Prince William County, her name is Kelly Fowler, she put up a TikTok, and she actually talked about this case. And that was very brave of her, by the way, you know. She had to face her colleagues about that, and I don't know how they felt about it. But it didn't seem that she didn't have support with that. You know, she went over everything. She put herself in it directly. Now, I can't say that I'm getting the same response from her colleagues as of yet. I need to give them another day to see if they respond. But I did notice, like, you know, they did write me back. I did notice a little bit of passing the buck along, you know, but that's okay. They're still directing me in a direction, you know what I mean? So they didn't completely ignore me. And I'm just hoping that other people could see what she saw. You know, he basically said the same thing. You know, you hear this case and you hear the charges and you think, oh, murder. And then she said, when you read the discovery, you're like, this is a car accident. It's just a very unfortunate thing that two people were killed in this car accident. And Mustafa himself was in a coma. He was life flighted away from the accident. And it's very sad that the officer who investigated this, Officer Drum, never mentioned one time that there was a dash cam video in Mustafa's car. Never, you would think. But that dash cam video could be what exonerates him, because it shows that there was no argument going on in the car. They actually stated that he buckled the child in the car seat, and luckily the dash cam video shows that it was the mother who buckled the little girl in. So there was just so many different things that were just wrong, you know, in the whole thing.
You know, hopefully, what I couldn't figure out? I saw where there was an accident, and somewhere I saw where they said it was intentional. He did it intentionally. And I had to sit back and wonder, how can anybody assume that he did it intentionally when he himself ended up in the hospital as well in serious condition? So
there were no brakes on the car. That's been proven.
Apparently what they said on the internet was that it was intentional. It was and I couldn't figure out why anybody would want to do something intentional when they were going to be dying as well, or seriously injured as well. And
right.
Again, that's the comments people make without thinking. And that causes something.
Again, I have to go back to 2018, Leona, where I believe this all started, you know, and the racial profiling began in 2018 with this family, you know, and it's ending up here where we're at today with the situation with Mustafa. And who knows, you know, Mustafa had his car fixed a week before, I believe, this happened. He had everything put on brand new, including new calipers. And right in the police report, which they were not supposed to get, like I told you, that piece of the paper, that the attorney ended up somehow, I don't know if he just didn't realize what he gave them, that they weren't supposed to get it. He wanted it back, and the family said, no, it's a part of the discovery. You gave it to us, and you have a copy. Feel free to make a copy. You know, we're keeping this. And it states right in there that the calipers did not work. And then when they did the reconstruction, which the family paid $4,100 for, the defense attorney said to the guy that did the reconstruction, don't send me anything in writing. Just send it to me verbally. Well, who does that? Defense attorney?
That defense attorney he doesn't want it in writing because he doesn't want to be held accountable for anything he does or says that's not right. That's exactly what it's about.
Yeah, and people are wondering why this family went on to, like, record the things that people were saying, because they couldn't trust anybody anymore. You know, it just got to the point where everything had to be documented and recorded because these people were lying so bad. And then when they found out about the recordings, that's when it really hit the fan. They were mad. They were mad because they were getting caught. They were getting caught up in their own lies, you know, and no one ever expected to find out. I just found out by accident, you know, that the Commonwealth attorney had campaign funds that were given by this defense attorney. I mean, I'm not the only one that found that out, by the way. The brother had known that, but I found it just through my own little investigation, you know, and that's through a lot of these people that are involved, including the mosque down there. Was bringing Amy Ashworth, Commonwealth attorney, into the mosque, putting a hijab on her, and she was telling these Muslim people, I'm the one that protects you in this county. And that mosque donated, I think, $19,000 to her campaign fund. And you see how she's really she's helping these Muslims. She's down there and she's prosecuting them, trying to get them life in prison, you know, based on lies.
That's what it is. We have corruption
yeah.
in the prosecution. We have corruption with the lawyers. We have corruption with the judges. And unless people are miracle workers or call upon our Most High, we're going to be going through all of this right along. You know, I want to real quickly say something that I meant to say earlier. I was reading yesterday about a young man in Texas who the courts just recently stated the school has the right to have these people with dreadlocks and braids have their hair cut short. Now,
I saw that.
Did you see that? We have people right now taking away the rights of women to make the decision on their own as to what they want to do with their own bodies. Now we have them talking about the hair of these students, of these people that are wearing the hair in dreadlocks and braids. I'm going to say this again about this country. This country has no idea about cultures. They have no idea. They think everybody's supposed to be thinking the way they're thinking. Every culture has their own traditions. And we see in the Caribbean, they have dreadlocks, they have braids. Even in the motherland, they have all these things. What right does any government in the United States of America have to tell these people how they can wear their hair, what they can do with their bodies?
Exactly.
If we don't do something about it soon, if people don't start being oppressive when it comes to situations like this, they're going to have complete control over everything that goes on, regardless of what race anybody is.
I say it every day. People need to stand up and be verbal and fight back. If we don't, you're right. We're going to lose every single right that we have. And I don't know why people are just still sitting back. I mean, there are people standing up like me, like you, like Melissa and others. But there are a lot of people that just don't realize, like, you sitting there behind your computer screen talking about it is doing nothing. Get up and do something about it.
Exactly.
It just can't go on like this, or we will have no rights in this country at all.
No, they did. The people did the same thing when Noah was talking about the flood. They were laughing about it. They didn't think it was serious. And so
Right. Until
the very last minute when the doors to the ark closed and they started pouring, everybody started running to try to get into the ark. What did God say then? He said the next time was going to be by fire. Look at what's going on in this country and around the world. Look what happened with Hawaii. Look what happened with California over and over again. Look at the global warming. Look at the nuclear weapons over in the Middle East and elsewhere. Look at all of this leading to that fire that was spoken of in Genesis. And every religion
exactly.
knows about that. Everyone, whether they're Muslim, whether they're Jewish, whether they're a white American, black American, brown, beige, Indian, native, they all know that this is what was predicted. And right now in this country, it's going to happen. And everybody that's keeping their mouth shut, that's doing absolutely nothing, at the last minute, they're going to be screaming and crying out. And nobody's going to be able to help them because they had their opportunity and they let it go. So they can sit back and feel content because it hasn't happened to them. Nothing's happening to them right now in that area. But there's going to be a time when it's going to hit them so fast, they're not going to know which way to turn.
I agree with you, Leona, 100%. I mean, let's even look at the situation with pedophiles in this country right now. They're trying to make it legal. They're showing films to our 5-year-old children in school through these videos that they're trying to teach with. I know that California is already doing it, and who knows? It's going to surely leak its way across every state if they have their way about it, where they make it okay to show your 5-year-old child, you know, a video that has sexual content where they show two men together having anal sex. I mean, this is just crazy. And people are complaining about it, but they're not doing anything about it. You know, you can't make a verbal complaint. You got to get up and be willing to fight about it.
You know, the thing that bothers me is when you have a loved one that's serving a life in prison, when the pedophile in the family is still walking free, still out there doing his thing, and then you have the victim in the prison serving life because
exactly.
of finally exposing or disclosing to someone but the wrong person. And this is what happens. Too many of these pedophiles are out in the streets walking while the others
yep.
are in prison.
I read a story about a lawyer who came home one day and found that his daughter had been molested by the neighbor, and the father went nuts. I mean, he went crazy, went over and he killed the guy. And the penal system, the justice system had no empathy for him. They said, because you're a lawyer and you know the law, you should have never did that. But the man lost his mind. His child's, you know, innocence had been taken away by some pedophile, and he's doing life in prison right now. It's wrong.
It is. It's sad because especially I remember the young man saying, it's bad enough that it happens to young girls or it happens to women, but it's even worse when it happens to a man because it takes away their manhood and, you know, it takes away everything that they felt as a man before. But these are the things that happen, and it's just disgusting. It's disgusting that we have people that are so ignorant of so many things in this country that nothing's being done that should be done.
Nothing. Yeah, Leona, and this is a little bit off topic, but I was in a Catholic orphanage when I was a child. Growing up, my parents were addicts, and I was basically made a ward of the state. And I was also a child who was molested horribly. I went to the police. I told the police what were going on. And the people at the orphanage basically said to the police, these are kids who have problems at home. They're troubled children. And the police listened to them. And I was no longer allowed to go to school because I told the school. When I went to the police were told the same thing and basically they said the same thing. So, I mean, this happens across the board, and it's been happening for a long time. You know, my voice was not heard for a long time, and I think that's why when I found my voice, I never gave it up, and that's why I do what I do today.
I'm glad you're doing it because more people need that kind of resources, that kind of help. You know, sometimes you know, when somebody is severely depressed, they can go one of two ways. They can commit suicide or it can turn into homicide. And this is what happens with a lot of people that have been violated as children. What happens is that they can be resilient and they can go on doing the things that they want to do, work and school and everything else. But let one thing happen in their lives that's so traumatic all over again that they can't put that shield back up again. They let their guard down, and they can't put it back up again. So they go off into depression, serious depression. And then as time goes on, it becomes a thing where it can be switched. It can go back and forth to either or. And that's why we have mass incarceration. When I talk about mental illnesses, I say it all the time. It doesn't mean somebody's mentally retarded. Some of the most intelligent people are the ones that are suffering from mental illness. And those are the ones that have been traumatized as children, as adolescents. You know, those are the ones that have gone through so much in domestic violence situations and out in the streets, in the ghettos, out in the drug-infested areas, people that grew up without siblings, without a father. You know, these are all parts of mental illnesses that people just don't have a clue how to deal with, and they just completely ignore it. And this government, filling the prisons without any kind of rehabilitation. They go in one way and they get treated worse as Mustafa. They get beaten, they get violated, all these things happen to them. And where is the help? Our government only knows how to throw people in prison like cattle and lock key and throw the key away and that's it. They don't know how to use their heads to do something productive when they put these people in prison.
I agree. It's terrible. It's really terrible. But, you know, it's just, it's been this way for a long time, and I think, too, the more time that people let that go, the more powerful they became, and, you know, now they just feel like they have all the power, and we need to start taking that power back from them. We need to start standing up for our rights.
Well, you know what, like I said, let's just start joining and uniting all as much as possible, getting other people involved in audience. If you're listening in, if you have a loved one inside, if you have a friend inside, or if you've been inside at any time, have you been violated? Have you been a victim in other ways? There are victims behind those prison walls who became offenders. So when I talk about victims, I'm talking about all victims, those outside the prison, but those also inside. Everybody fails to realize that there are victims behind those walls. So I hope the audience will take heed when they hear these things. There's a lot of people behind those walls that don't belong in the, in 25 years in every other country, unless it's mass killings, serial killings, or mass murders, or terrorism. That's the only time they keep them in beyond 25 years. And Franz Dahl will tell you that. A lot of people will tell you that. Life and life without parole is ridiculous. And also the death penalty focus with Mike Farrell. They're trying to have death penalty abolished, and they should. I want to remind everybody that God did forgive Moses, and Moses was a murderer. He did forgive King David. King David was a murderer. He did forgive Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul for all the Christians, and Paul killed many Christians. So if God could forgive these people, who are we to judge? We're living in an ungodly country. This is what I call Babylon itself, because people will listen, but they won't do anything to try to make it better. You watch and see. And we're going to be closing pretty soon. So once again, Christine, if you can give the audience your information to contact you and let them know how they can help. And also the petition, I don't know if you have that offhand, but the petition is on change.org for Mustafa Azali.
There's actually three petitions that we have going around, and I'm going to get the other two so I can start posting them as well in the groups that I was in. But you can reach me at area code 412-815-9179. And the way that anybody can help is just by, you know, let me know if there's something that I may be able to do, or if you know a civil pro bono attorney that could help this family that has, I did find out yesterday that if we would need the civil attorney would have to be able to be like a universal, someone that can work like national, because, you know, they have statutes and different things where you can't practice in the state of Virginia or any state if you don't belong to that bar. But there are national attorneys, and that's what we're looking for, a national civil attorney that could help this family. It would curb a lot of these things that are happening to Mustafa, and even the things that happened with his mother, you know, having her hand broke by that lawyer. So feel free at any time to contact me, to reach out. I would actually appreciate it, and I would encourage it.
I want to thank you very much. I want to thank you, Christine, for coming on. I really appreciate you coming on and bringing more clarity to what's going on with Mustafa. And I hope, like I say, I hope that people listening will try to connect with you in some way or try to do something. Even if you just go on the Internet and type in prisoner advocacy groups, go on Facebook and type in prisoner advocacy groups or families of incarcerated. Go on there, join these organizations, join these groups, and find out how you can help, because there is too much suffering going on in this country, unnecessarily, especially behind those prison walls. We're talking about mass incarceration, 2.3 million people incarcerated, men, women, and youth. Please, audience, listen. Please try your best to get involved in some way or another. Write your legislative members. Ask them to help. Ask them, and if they are working on criminal justice reform or prison reform, let them know that you support them 100%. We are going to be closing. Once again, we're going to end this episode. Christine, thank you so much for coming on again and clarifying a lot of issues with Mustafa, and I hope and pray that things will work out for him and you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Leona. Thank you.
We are now going to end this episode. Thank you all for listening in. And again, we will be on tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We will have back on with us Andy Williams, Jr., presidential candidate for We the People Party. Please join us tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time to hear and to join in with Andy Williams, Jr. Thank you all, and welcome to the show for tomorrow. Thank you again, Christine.